ओम श्री गणेशाय नमः। ओम श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः। ओम श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। समस्त जन कल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्।
You chant from beginning.
You could repeat the words.
Tajnanam prashamakaram yadindriyanam. Tajnyeyam yadupanishatsu nishchitartham. ते धन्या भुवि परमार्थ निश्चिते हाः। शेषास्तु भ्रमनिलये परिभ्रमन्तः। आदौ विजित्य विषयान् मदमोहराग। द्वेषादिशत्रुगणमाहृतयोगराज्याः। ज्ञात्वा मतं समनुभूय परात्मविद्या। कान्ता सुखं वनगृहे विचरन्ति धन्याः। त्यक्त्वा गृहे रतिमधो गति हेतुभूताम्। आत्मेच्छयोपनिषदर्तरसं पिबन्तः। वीतस्पृहा विषयभोगपदे विरक्ताः। धन्याश्चरन्ति विजनेषु विरक्तसङ्गाः। त्यक्त्वा गृहे रति रतिमधो गति हेतुभूताम्। यस्टरडे वी सॉ ट्रांसलेशन ऑफ दिस वर्स, टुडे वी विल स्टार्ट टू सी नाउ इन डिटेल। हैविंग गिवन अप गृहे रतिम, गृहे रतिम मीन्स you know, all creatures, including human beings, have a sense of home. Home, even if a fox has a little dog out somewhere there, he always, his mind is always centered on that, you know, he'll go out and roam here and there, but his mind is always centered on that thing, that he'll go back there. Every creature is like that. The birds will fly south in the winter, but still they will go back home after the winter is over, you know. So human beings also have this thing. In other words, we are very much tied to space. And remember, our goal is to go beyond time and space and beyond everything. So we are not only tied to particular objects. We are tied to things sometimes which are more subtle. So this idea of home, this idea of centering our existence in one place, that is space. So it demonstrates our attachment to space also. So we are attached to time, space, we are attached to so many things. So this idea of home, and now all the things associated with that home, like there's a family there, my relatives are there, my property is there, my possessions are there, you know, I identify with so many things around there. That is what is meant by this grihe ratim. I revel in all the things that are associated with that home. I'm attached to them and I love them and I revel in them. That is the idea. So having dropped that, that is why we have what is called as parivrajika sannyasis and all. They just go wherever the night catches them, they sleep there. That is home. That remains home for that night. And then they move on the next day. They go. You see? He says, Adho Gati Hetu Bhutam. This attachment to home is a cause for our downfall or our fall. Meaning to say, it weakens us. We become a weaker sadhak when I'm attached to any particular place as my own. I should be, oh, you know, this morning we had a good example. I should be prepared to be comfortable wherever, however, make do with whatever, yeah, at any time. Because we become so attached to our regular conveniences and regular, you know, things, that if something goes off, I'm thrown off. But I should be able to manage very well, comfortably. Okay, it happens sometimes, like that. To be able to make do wherever, in whatever, under whatever circumstances. You know what is best thing, best way to do it? Go to India and lose yourself in India. Don't have any plans. Just go and wherever the night catches you, in whichever train station, sleep with all the other people who are sleeping there. Do it for a month or two. All this attachment to home will go away. Because there are so many thousands sleeping in train station or sleeping somewhere there, isn't it? Think what it will take from you to do that. Very difficult, isn't it? But it is the easiest way to get rid of this attachment to home. Because why he's telling it is a cause for our downfall. It shows that I have not yet realized the omnipresence of the reality which I am searching for. That reality will be, you know, our Tagore wrote in his Gitanjali, you would have seen, that his feet, Lord's feet, are among the lowliest and the lost. His feet is to be found everywhere. So the person who is really attached to that one home or something, he finds all his comforts there, and he forgets that the Lord is really present everywhere. The Lord who which I am searching for, that Lord is present in all things everywhere. So wherever I am, I should be happy because my Lord is here also. But the attachment to one thing, one place, makes us forget that. That is why it is the cause for our downfall. We exist in as what we call it as pakshapati. We are one-sided in our vision. We don't learn to see the Lord's omnipresence. So, the more we can give, the more you can give up your own ideas and ideologies, the more you'll be able to see the ideas and ideologies of other people. So in the very same way, the more I can give up my locality, location, the more I'll be able to see the omnipresence of God. When I'm tied to one place, it's very difficult to see like that. Atme Chaya Upanishad Artharasam Pivantaha. These people, these saints and sages who pursue this path, who are dhanya, they having the desire for the self, they delve into the Upanishads and they drink of the rust of the Upanishads, forgetting attachment to home and to property and to all such things. They look into the Upanishads and they study the Upanishads with a desire for the self, and they drink of the nectar of the Upanishads. There are so many Western people who have come and who have studied the scriptures of India and brought the scriptures of India, the Upanishads and Gita, to the West, and they also drink of the Upanishads. There is nothing in the world that you will ever encounter as wonderful as the Upanishad. Ideas that can take us right out of this world right out of samsara. So, such great sadhaks and seekers did drink of the nectar of the Upanishads. Vita spriha vishaya bhoga pade viraktaha, becoming free from enjoyment of all worldly things and becoming free from longing. Vita spriha. Spriha, you know. It is after you go to your favorite sweet shop in Mumbai and you have some of that most wonderful sweet and you leave Mumbai and you come back to Atlanta, but your mind is still in that sweet shop. That is called spriha. And when I go back to Mumbai next time, I will go there. So you're still thinking of that milk cake. That's called as spriha. So vita spriha. Anything that we have enjoyed in the past and the mind is still lingering on that thing, that is called as spriha. So one who has gone beyond that thing. Vishaya bhoga pade virakta has become free from all enjoyment of worldly things. Dhanyaha charanti vijaneshu virakta sangha. Vijaneshu word is very nice also. Bhagavan Sri Krishna mentioned that two or three times in Bhagavad Gita about learning to be by ourselves, you know. Each person should master this thing. It is not that we should avoid people or any such thing. Master the art of being by yourself and being happy with yourself, with your own company. That we should master. Then we can be in the company of anybody, you know. But if there is nobody around, I am fine. Like that. Otherwise, there are so many of us who are dependent on the company of other people. That other person is not there. I become so miserable. So that it shows that there is still some sort of dependence, and the independence which is required of a sadhak, that independence is not yet developed. Every sadhak should be 100% independent. And I'll tell you something. Where you have two persons who are dependent, this one is dependent on this, and this one is dependent on that one, then what you have is actually two weak persons. And when one pulls away, the other one, that is very painful. What you have to have is, if not both, at least one should be strong and independent. It's better if both are strong and independent, you know. But at least one should have strength to add to the relationship, to add to the union, so that some support will be there. And it is best that all of us try to be very independent of all other human beings. Then you become a most wonderful support for the other person, or you become a support for the children, you become a pillar for society. The person who becomes strong. And that can happen only if I am independent. I am not dependent on, or leaning on any other person or being in the world. So I should be able to walk this world all by myself. I should be able to, whether people are there or people are not there, I should be able to be fine. That is the idea. Vijaneshu. The Lord says in the sixth chapter, Rahasi. That word will come just now, I think, in this scripture only. Rahasi means being alone, or one who is solitary, one who is by himself, he likes to be by himself, he likes his own company. Gurudev used to say, if you do not enjoy your own company or you cannot keep your own company, don't inflict it on others. Because you'll be a weak person inflicting your, you know, all things on other people. So learning to be all by yourself, then you will be a great company for the other person. First you have to make yourself, you know, in the airplane they tell you what? In case of an emergency, that oxygen mask will drop from the ceiling. They tell, na? First you put on your mask, then help others in your care, na? But if you don't put on a mask, how you will help this other person? So make yourself strong first, be independent, a of all beings, then you'll be able to really make some contribution to the world. The world will love you thereafter. At other places in Bhagavad Gita, he mentions this several times. Virakta Sangaha. But free from all attachments. Not attached to anything. See, many people think that Hinduism is talking about all people should become sannyasis or something, renunciate, to give up everything. You don't own anything. You don't have anything. That is not what we are talking about. We are talking about, if I have this thing with me, I am using it. But if this thing goes away the next moment, I should be okay. I should not be devastated because I lost this thing. Or whichever thing. So it is not saying that I take everything which I have and give it away now. That is not what, when it says virakta sangha, meaning free from all attachment, it doesn't mean I take all my property and give it away. That is not what we teach. So many people think that is what we teach. Keep whatever we have, but if that thing is gone the next moment, I am fine. As a matter of fact, it will be gone at some time. Either those things will go or I will go. Some going will take place. So, I should be prepared to be just absolutely fine. It has gone. One rich man, you know. He went to Banaras and took two pearls to his guru. And that guru was sitting on the banks of Ganga. And he said, Guruji, I have brought two choicest pearls for you. I searched all over the world and got them. And here they are. I present them to you. And gave them to that guru. And while guru was taking it in his hand, one of that pearl fell into Ganga. And that guru said, oh, Bechara chala gaya. Without any, you know, real attachment or anything, it went. So this man was beside himself. You know, surprised, this guru is not paying any attention. Choicest pearl went. So the guru did not move. This man went down into the water to find that thing. Went down, came up, took another breath, went down again, came up 2-3 times, and he could not find it. And he said, Guruji, you saw where it fell. Where did it fall? The Guruji said, right there. Let the other one go. No attachment to whether that pearl is with him or with not with him. All same. If we even get the thought that my pearl is lost, it may not be lost. Even if we get the thought that it is lost, see how attached we are, how dependent we are on things of the world. But we should be like that. Whether it is there or not there, we should be absolutely fine. Okay, now, there are subtler and subtler things we have to deal with. The attachment there to worldly things, attachment to people. Sometimes we can be attached to our ideas, subtler things, ideology. Like, for example, Hitler was attached to some ideology. Because of that ideology, he killed so many people. He will become attached to all sorts of things, gross and subtle. So, at deeper levels, we have also now more things to deal with. In number 4, Tyaktva mamahamiti bandhakare pade dve. Manavamana sadrusha samadarshinascha. Kartaramanyavagamagam yatadarpitani. Kartaramanyavagamagam. कुर्वन्ति कर्म परिपाक फलानि धन्याः। त्यक्त्वा, हैविंग ड्रॉप्ड व्हाट मम अहम् इति बन्धकरे पदे, दीस टू थिंग्स, दीस टू वर्ड्स विच इज मम एंड अहम्, इन अरण्यकांड Lakshmana asked Prabhu Shri Ram, Prabhu, tell me, what is this Maya? And Shri Ram said, Lakshmana, I'll tell you, in the simplest definition of Maya you will ever have anywhere in our Hindu scripture, he says, Mai arumur tor te Maya, jahi basati me jivanikaya. Maya is nothing but me and mine, you and yours. It is how Maya expresses itself in the first instant. Me and mine, you and yours. How simply you put it. But if you study this me and mine, you will see it is at the root of all of human beings' problems. Starting with my individuality, which is me. I am an individual who is separate, distinct, who is unconnected, who is a private being, who have my own, and then also my possession, right? I identify with my ideas, my age, my nationality, my gender, my, you know, all things. I go on, my religion. So that, those are my things. These are the things that identify me. So me first, the individual who is distinct and separate, unconnected and all that kind of thing. We feel that we are not connected to anybody or anything in this universe. That is the me, the being which is demarcated. And then all the things that he possesses that identify him. Gender, nationality, age, you know. And subtle and subtler things. Like for example, sometimes I feel, well, I am a sannyasi. There is one way to identify the me. That is something I possess. I possess some title, quality, this, that, so many countless things now you can count. So me and mine, that is the expression of Maya first. So Maya seems to fragment. Maya fragments a thing which is actually uniform and whole. Like how a prism can fragment white light into different colors. So Maya fragments a uniform, all-pervasive reality into little parts and little things and little beings. And some of the little parts now get the feeling of, oh, I am a me. I am a separate, distinct being, and I am not connected to anything. But recently only somebody was telling me about something that was written about how when a butterfly in the Amazon flaps its wings, it affects everything in the universe. That means to say every single thing in the universe is connected. And not just connected, intimately, inextricably connected. But there's such a strong feeling of my own private space and my own private separate existence, isn't it? That strong feeling is called as me. That thing has to be eroded. It has to be given up. That really, I am not just this little being, but I am this universe. That feeling of expansive existence, connectedness to all things in the universe. So that feeling of me has to be given up. And the easier thing to give up is mine. Me is a little bit more difficult. So start by giving up the mind, my idea, my thing. Really speaking, if you do a little bit of introspection on this word mind, you'll find no basis for the word. So suppose I call this thing mind. Let us find out what is the basis of calling it mind. We say, well, I worked and I got money and I bought it. Therefore it is mind. But now you look at that. Every aspect of that. Huh? Did I invent or create this thing? No. I say that I worked for the money. Did I invent or create the money? No. I said I use my knowledge and energy and I got the money. Oh, so knowledge and energy you create? No, the energy is constant in the universe. Knowledge we got from some guru, some other person. So that knowledge and energy I used to work, and then I used this instrument, DMI. I did not create this also. So somehow, in the whole string of things there, nothing I created, nothing I really brought into the universe, but some minus is born. There's a mysterious derivation of minus. Where did it come from? When I was actually responsible for nothing. I cannot create energy or knowledge or anything. I did not create watch. I did not create money. Nothing. The minus is coming so strongly in between there. Somewhere it is born. At what stage also it is born, we don't know. What a most wonderful thing. And like that, so many countless forms of minus. This is mine. That is mine. The other thing is mine. And we also put patent and copyright and all that for things which are constant in the universe. Suppose I discover something. I did not create it. It was there. Actually, nothing new is created in this universe. Na sato vidyate bhavah, na bhavo vidyate sataha. One of the implications of that phrase in second chapter is, really, we cannot create anything in this universe. Nobody could create anything. Everything in the universe is already there. You may discover it. And the discovery also happens by the grace of God only. That it will be told here just now. Karta ramanya avagamya tadarpitani. Kartaram anya. If you discover something, the karta of that discovery is somebody else. Who? Bhagwan. I am not the Bhagwan so wished that at this time this thing should be revealed. And you were the instrument through which it was revealed. That is all. So this feeling of mine, me and mine, in second chapter, vihaya kamanya sarvan pumam sarati nispriha nirmamo nirahankaraha. Same phrase there. Sa shanti mati gacchati. Any person who wants to read that state of peace, should give up this feeling of me and mine. Mana vamana sadrisha sadrisha samadarshinaha. All these words that they found in Bhagavad Gita in some form of the name. Mana avamana, respect and disrespect. The person who has gone beyond both of them. Respect and disrespect. Otherwise we are always looking for some little bit of respect, some little bit of commendation, some little bit of praise, this person, those kind of things. We are looking for them. But whether I get respect from this world or I do not get respect, and many people say, oh, I should earn my respect. So a lot of people go on struggling to earn some respect from humanity. But the world is such that if you get respect today, be sure that tomorrow you will get disrespect. That is samsara. So why go on struggling and fighting for things which actually will do nothing for you? What will respect do for you in your spiritual journey? Nothing. As a matter of fact, respect might even keep you down, really. In that kind of thing. When Hanumanji comes back from Lanka, Sri Ram praises him. Sri Ram gives him praise. That time Hanumanji's heart burns. Surrenders to the Lord Krishna. Prabhu, save me, save me, save me. So the Lord is praising him, but he's telling the Lord to save him. Because a little bit of praise, or a little bit of respect, that goes to the Western language, he said, goes to his head. Quickly it goes to the head. And the person says, aha. The Lord also prays. So you have to be very, very careful about this thing. So respect can even bring us down. Mana Vamana Sadrisha Samadarshina is another word in Gita. It comes so Samabuddhir Vishishyate. Samatvam Yoga, which is Sama word, is a very small word in Sanskrit. Sama. But a very powerful two letter word. Most powerful word, you know. In the world, you will see that the universe is made up of positive and negative, right? But we live in a world where we are tossed constantly from one side to the next. So you'll see your own life also. Some days you're happy, some days miserable. Some days some parts of the world you'll see poverty, some parts you'll see riches. Some parts is health, some parts disease. Or you yourself, one day healthy, one day sick. So we keep swinging. This universe keeps swinging. So this sama word, which is there in Gita, and it comes in the scripture everywhere like this, means to keep that equilibrium of balance. I should not be, even if my body swings, let us say, at least my mind should be kept in a state of equilibrium, balance. So we should strive as much as possible to stay in that state. You see, in physics, for instance, positive is here and negative is there, right? So that middle point will be called as what? Positive or negative? Neutral point, isn't it? That will be neutral point, or what is called a zero point in physics. And zero point is where possibility of both positive as well as negative is there. But if you are on one side, well, this is how the world works. People usually find themselves polarized. I'm always on one side, so I'm either Republicans or Democrats. And we fight to the bone. So the world goes on like this. Now one more thing. Some people say, if that is not there, the world will not turn. That is true also. The poles are required, a positive and negative is required for the atom to, for the electrons to go, isn't it? The world turns because of positive and negative. But remember, the world is not our goal. So the puzzle is solved by coming out of this constant. Yeah, constant struggle between positive and negative. So yes, that is the nature of the world. But my goal is not the world. My goal is samatvam. State of absolute equilibrium. You know, the person who has to realize himself has to bring his mind to this state. Therefore, you see the rishis, they are not Hindus or Christians or Muslims. They don't identify with anything. Because if you identify with something, you immediately polarize. You go on one side. I am that. I am not this. But they go beyond all these pairs of oppositions. And they stay in a state of pure equilibrium. Now here it says Samadarshinaha. Samadarshinaha means one who sees the reality existing equally in all things. Same one reality. Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Gavihastini Shunichaya Vashvapakecha Pandita Samadarshina. The same word comes there also. Will be in 5th chapter somewhere. But who sees in a learned Brahmana, in a cow, in an elephant, in a dog eater, on each dog, in all of them there's only one reality existing. Otherwise we are quick to set ourselves apart from them and stay on one other pole, you know. But to see that in me and in all of these things, the same one reality is existing. So I'm always in a state of equilibrium. I see that one reality existing equally. And my mind doesn't get quickly pulled on one pole. And I identify my... Then again, me and mine comes in. And I pull myself on this side. And I am this. They all belong to that. You see? So samadarshina, huh? Kartaramanya avagamya tadarpitani. to surrender all things in this universe to the Lord, that He is the doer, He is making it happen in the way it is happening. Kurvanti karma paripaka phalani dhanyaha. They are blessed indeed who see that all things that are happening in this world is happening by the grace of the Lord. He Himself is making it happen. In Hindi they said, Bina Bhagwan ki ichha hil na sake ik patta. One leaf also cannot shake without His grace or His will. But yet we feel that we are making it happen, isn't it? It's amazing how this little human being takes responsibility for so many things in this world. When really, one mother was telling that boy, you are irresponsible. So the boy said, no, who told I am irresponsible? In my class, my teacher tells me, I am very responsible. Anything that goes wrong in the class, I am responsible for. But human being is like that only. Anything that really, let me tell you something. You remove human beings from this world, right? And you leave all the other species. This world will work perfectly. Anything that goes wrong in this world, we are responsible or not. And you know what is ironic about that? We think that we are responsible for everything which is going right in the world. That is an amazing thing. But there is a Lord who is there in this world, who is making everything. So, and this Lord, this world can very well do without us. Huh? One man was there. He was living in a ground floor apartment. And suddenly one day, he was the sole breadwinner in the house, you know. So he used to bully everybody. Hey, get my socks. Bring my shoes. Bring my tea. Go and put sugar in the tea and bring it back. Bullying everybody in the house because he is the sole breadwinner. So he had this great feeling of, I am so powerful, you know. Without me, they will all die. Suddenly one day he died. Then everybody started screaming and shouting and crying and everything. Then of course the law had to take its course and they called in DMO and whoever, and then they called in that undertaker. So they put him on this stretcher thing and they were taking him out. While going out, his arm was hanging out like this. And his arm hit the doorpost. When it hit the doorpost, he came alive. He became back to life. Then they explained to him that he had gone. Well, he continued with his normal life, bullying everybody and this and that. All things went back to normal. And it went on for many months. 8-10 months. Then suddenly again one day he died. And again they were taking him out. And this time the wife shouted from there, watch out for the doorpost. Because they very well realized that they can do without this. So, the fact is, this world can very well do without us. This world is going on an automatic gear. We are not running anything here. The world runs all by itself. Therefore, we should always remind ourselves that Bhagwan is running this world and whether we are there. You know, as a matter of fact, those people who feel that this world and things cannot go on without them, they should remind themselves that things may go on better without them. And there is a Lord who is taking care of everything in this world. Huh? So, karma paripaka phalani dhanyaha. Meaning to say that, you know, this phrase goes a little bit deeper. If any time that humanity did not have this thing, and this idea came to you, and immediately you brought this thing into existence. This is what you feel, like you brought it into existence. Humanity did not have this thing and you brought it. That time, what you should remember in this phrase, karma paripaka phalani, that at that moment, what happened is the Lord saw it fit that humanity should have this thing at this moment. And through you, the Lord brought that thing into existence. That this phrase goes deep like that. That it was high time that humanity had this thing. And that decision was made by the Lord. And so you had nothing to do with it. And let me ask you another question. See, suppose the Lord decides, okay, now humanity should have this. And the Lord wants to bring it. And you are not there. So you think the Lord cannot find any other person? He'll find. After all, he's the Lord, na? So we should always remind ourselves, he wanted it to happen and he wanted it to happen now and he brought it. And if I was not there, he would have found somebody else very easily. You see? So this, all the last three lines of this verse, they are connected to the first line. If we practice all the other things that we have seen in the last three lines, they will all help us to erode that me and mine. Because it is these things, feeling that I do, I am responsible, I am the one who is the driving force, and all that kind of thing. We should not have that type of feeling. We erode those, the feeling of, you know, I am so great, will go away. See? All doership should be imputed to the Lord, or on the Lord, not that I should go on feeling that I am the one who is responsible. Now see. More things that we should drop and more things that we should practice. So as you drop certain things, pick up some other practices on this path. What a nice verse. Remember, it's 5. Tyaktve shana trayama vekshita moksha margaha. भैक्षामृतेन परिकल्पित देह यात्राः ज्योति परात् परतरं परमात्म संयम धन्या द्विजा रहसि हृद्यवलोकयन्ति. So dhanya, they are indeed blessed. Who? The ones who tyaktva aishana traya. Aishana traya. Aishana traya means the three types of desires that we have. What is that? It is called putreshana, vitteshana, and lokeshana. The three types of desires all human beings come with. The one who has dropped all of them. What is that? Lokeshana is. I'll tell you. Oh, let me tell you. See if you can figure out. That is very good. I asked the children this in Balihar. It is a strong desire for all human beings to procreate, and that manifests itself in attraction to the opposite gender and all that kind of thing, right? So the strong desire to procreate, to have children, and to propagate the species, there's something built into human being. Then there's a strong desire for wealth, vittesha, possess, you know, get this thing, that thing, the other. And lastly, there's a strong desire for name and fame, position, power, that kind of thing. Location. So out of the three,
Which do you think is strong?
Wealth. Some people say that. Procreation.
You will never, that is the thing about Maya. The thing which is strongest, you will never suffer.
It is location.
Name and fame, and that manifests in so many ways.
Maya is such that the thing which is most insidious, that we don't.
Maya has succeeded, you know, all of our minds are taken.
We, and if scriptures and gurus are not there, we'll never know.
See, this location
manifests in the form of name, fame, notice, all this, you know, feeling to be loved. I want to be loved by other people. I want other people to notice me, to praise me, to, you know, that kind of thing. That is the strongest, because if you look at it, from the time a baby is born, that baby wants to be caressed by the mother. If you leave that baby even for a second and go away, that baby cries like anything, isn't it? It wants attention, wants notice, wants love, wants, you know, to be hugged, to be caressed, to be paid attention to. And that thing never leaves that human being, even after the grave. And that tombstone also. Tombstone, he puts there. Something that people will. You see?
Yeah.
He goes to buy a plot also. One man went to buy the plot. Then he asked, how much is this plot in the cemetery? 5,000. So how much is that plot? 10,000. Why? He said, go there, you'll see the view. So he wants that when he goes, you know, he should have the expensive plot. You know, everybody will say he got a $10,000 plot, you know. Like that, even after he goes, he wants people to still remember him, to know him, and that kind of thing. Maybe. What an amazing thing. This location, huh? Is the most popular. You see, for example, when the child is born, between, let us say, birth and 5-10 years, do you think he's thinking of opposite gender, money? Not there. But this location goes. That is why you see Shankaracharya also very nicely in his Bhaja Govinda. How it starts? First verse of Bhaja Govinda, you remember? Where that person is now looking. Learning Sanskrit at whatever age. So the idea there is location. That he wants to become a Shastri in Banaras. At his age also he becomes a Shastri, he becomes famous. So the first verse talks about location. Then second verse, Vitta, wealth. Wealth is second actually. This is the order. Shankaracharya gives that Bhaja Govinda in that order also. And the last is the opposite gender there. Nari san bhara nari desham dhrutva maga moha vesham and all. Third birth. That comes last, but we think that is first. In that order it is there. So, here he says those three. We should give up. But the person who is really on this path should give up those three. Alright, we'll see the rest of this verse and the rest of the verses in tomorrow or last class. Okay. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnamadaya Avashishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.